Sunday morning, early, very early, the women came to the tomb. Spices in hand, they found the stone was rolled away. In they go to look around, but his body could not be found. Perplexed, confused, in a daze. Suddenly, two men appear. They bow in fear, terrified by their shining light. Why are you looking in a tomb for someone who is alive? He's not there. He's risen from the dead. Don't you remember what he said? The Son of Man must be betrayed, crucified, and rise again on the third day. Then they remembered all that he has said, that he would rise from the dead. So they rushed and so they ran to tell the 11, the disciples. In fact, they told everyone what they saw, what they heard, what they felt, what had happened. Nonsense. What are you talking about? Have you gone mad? He's not alive. We don't believe you. But Peter finds himself running to the tomb. Could it be true? Is he alive? I've got to know. Stooping and peering into the tomb. It's empty. It's really empty. He's not there. He's really gone. All that remains is the grave clothes. The grave clothes is all that remain. And so he goes home again, wondering what had happened. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 11 kilometers out of Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. Suddenly, Jesus himself came along and joined them and began walking beside them. But they didn't know who he was, because God had kept them from recognizing him. "You seem to be in a deep discussion about something," he said. "What are you so concerned about?" They stopped short, sadness written over their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus. The man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did wonderful miracles. He was a mighty teacher, highly regarded by both God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders arrested him and handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had thought he was the Messiah who would come to rescue Israel. That all happened 3 days ago." Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, Jesus' body was gone, just as the women had said. And Jesus said to them, "You are such foolish people. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted by the prophets that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his time of glory?" Then Jesus quoted passages from the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining what all the scriptures said about himself. by this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus would have gone on, but they begged him to stay the night with them since it was getting late. So he went home with them. And as they sat down to eat, he took a small loaf of bread, asking God's blessing on it, broke it, then gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts feel strangely warm as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem, where the 11 disciples and the other followers of Jesus were gathered. And when they arrived, they were greeted with the report, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." What had happened? What had happened? I just spoke from Luke 24. The first part was my spoken word, and then I spoke from the last verses from 13 to 34. And this is Luke's account where he talks about the resurrection, where he talks about what comes after the cross, what comes beyond the cross. And this road to Emmaus that Luke talks about, it's only found actually in his gospel. None of the other gospels mentioned Emmaus or this road to Emmaus. So this story is a wonderful story, and it's one that's really touched the hearts of people for many centuries and years. And it serves today for me talking about what happens after the cross, what happens beyond the cross, what happens beyond resurrection. And I want to talk about life beyond the cross. I want to talk about life after the cross, according to this story of the Emmaus Road. I want to look at five things today about the road to Emmaus, about what happened and how they are helped by Jesus to understand. Five things. The road to Emmaus is a place where we walk and talk together. The road to Emmaus is a place to bring all our questions. The road to Emmaus is a place where we open scripture together. The road to Emmaus is a place where we see Jesus. The road to Emmaus is a place where our hearts come alive with the fire of his presence. Verse 13 says, "That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 11 kilometers out of Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened." The road to Emmaus is a place where we walk and we talk together. So why were they walking to Emmaus? What's at Emmaus? What do we know about Emmaus? Well, I simply think they were walking home. They were going home. Their lodgings, their home was obviously, for me, in Emmaus. And they'd been in Jerusalem for all the events that happened, the crucifixion of Jesus and everything around that, the confusion, the bewilderment, and then the report from the women that he was alive, that he was gone, the body was gone. And they're walking home. It seems it's getting late. They're going home. They need to sleep. They need to eat. So I think that's why they were walking home. But what is that Emmaus? Well, the word Emmaus means hot springs. It means warm springs. So it could be that there was some natural warm springs there, and they had built a settlement, some houses, a place. Luke calls it a village around that. We don't know for sure. So probably it was a good place to live outside of Jerusalem. What other things do we know about Emmaus? Well, there are a few explanations of its location. And scholars, People have looked back in history, into the Old Testament times, even looking at the Apocrypha and what that writes about Emmaus. And there are a few explanations. I'll talk about three very quickly this morning. Some think it's a place called Emmaus Nicopolis, which was once a great Roman city many years ago, and actually was further than 11 kilometers. It was 18 miles from Jerusalem. But its name means the city of victory. There was a great battle there and a victory won. And because of this great victory, they built this city here. Others think it was a place called Al-Qalbiya, a quiet village 7 miles from Jerusalem, more like what Luke would describe it as. And actually, later on, many centuries later, in medieval times, Christians built a church to remember that moment where Jesus appeared to those disciples as the resurrected Christ. And then others think it's a place called Motza, which is a place a lot nearer to Jerusalem than 7 miles. But wherever Emmaus was, the road to Emmaus serves us and helps us understand what is beyond the cross, what is after the cross. In our lives now, what do we do beyond the cross and after the cross? What does this place mean to us? The road to Emmaus is a place where we walk and we talk together. I believe this is so important for us as followers of Jesus, that we walk together, that we talk together. It's so important that we're not on this journey alone. You know, the enemy's greatest desire is to isolate us from others, to isolate us from others in any way that they can, whether it's through circumstances, whether it's through shame, whether it's through guilt, whatever way, he wants us separated. But we must walk and talk together. It wasn't a story of one disciple walking home. It was a story of two disciples walking home. And they were talking about Jesus. And that's so important for us as followers of Jesus, to talk about him. What does he mean to us? How has he transformed our lives and changed us? What are we learning about him? We must walk together. Understand Jesus together. You see, when we get together, when we gather together, whether it's like today on a Sunday or whether it's Monday to Friday, when we're here doing what we're doing, bringing transformation to the community, whether it's in our life groups, it's important that we take every step of our journey together. I love verse 15, where we find about Jesus suddenly appearing. Suddenly, a couple times we've seen that word, suddenly, Jesus himself came along and joined them and began walking beside them. You see, when we walk and we talk together, it's not just us walking and talking together. It's Jesus comes alongside, walking with us, helping us, revealing to us, bringing recognition of who he is in our lives. So I want to encourage you, come on, let's walk and talk together. The road to Emmaus is also a place to bring all our questions. It's okay to ask questions. Verse 17 says this. "You seem to be in a deep discussion about something," he said. "What are you so concerned about?" You know, we all have questions. We can all have doubts, and that's okay. Because you see, it's only through asking questions that we get answers. If we don't ask a question, we don't know the answer, do we? Pretty straightforward, really. But in order to understand Jesus more, as we walk and we talk together alongside him, we will begin to understand more as we ask these questions. We say it many times, when you open the Word, when you open Scripture and you read something, ask questions. Have a look when you're reading Scripture, how many questions actually are written in Scripture. There's hundreds, I've not counted them, but look at just this passage, there'll be a handful of questions in there. You see, as we ask those questions on this road to Emmaus, after the cross, beyond the cross, let's ask these questions and never stop asking questions. Never stop it. Keep talking together. Keep exploring the longings of your heart. Keep exploring the desires of your heart, the hunger of your heart to understand Jesus more. About his kingdom, about his power, about who we are because of him, about God the Father, about Jesus the Son, about Holy Spirit and this presence as we've been singing and feeling and experiencing this morning in our worship. We sang, didn't we? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive in you. Wow. You know, as we ask questions, as we seek after more, as we long after more, as we hunger for more, as we walk and talk together, Jesus comes alongside and answers those questions through the Holy Spirit revealing, through scriptures that we read, through other people. We will find those answers. The road to Emmaus is also a place where we open scripture together. You know, I love scripture. Whether you have a paper Bible or whether you have it as an app, it's such a joy to open scripture. You know, verse 27 says this: then Jesus quoted passages from the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining what all the scriptures said about himself. And so they open scripture together. There is power and there is unity in opening scripture together. Bill mentioned this morning that article he read, that the difference it makes when we open scripture together. I mean, yes, we must open it ourselves for our own personal reflection, our personal understanding, but it's also extremely important that we open scripture together, exploring it together. It's such a joy, I know, for me. After the cross, beyond the cross, after the resurrection of Jesus, it comes alive to us. Jesus helps us as we come along, as we experience, and he enlightens us and teaches us all about himself. You know, as we read scripture, it explains everything we need to know in order to follow Jesus. Because you see, when we follow Jesus, he knows where he's going. So let's follow him. Most of the time, we don't know where we're going, but he does. That's why we're followers of him. So we must let him lead us, because he'll lead us through scripture to a place of enlightenment, of freedom, of life to the full. So never neglect reading scripture with on yourself, by your own, but also with others. Here on Sunday, we read it every Sunday. We open scripture together, don't we? With others in the week, I love talking to others about what I'm reading about. And then our life groups, I've mentioned that again, and I will mention it again. If you're not in a life group, please come and see us. Get into a life group, because it's good. It's good. Because we talk about scripture. I know in our group, we just open scripture together. We read it and we ask Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us as we read this scripture? And then Holy Spirit shows us and it brings enlightenment, it brings challenge, and it brings encouragement as we open scripture together. The road to Emmaus is also a place where we see Jesus. Verses 30 and 31 say this: as they sat down to eat, he took a small loaf of bread, asking God's blessing on it, broke it, then gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Suddenly, their eyes were opened. Can you imagine? Put yourself in that place. That must have been incredible. They thought that Jesus had died. They heard the reports that the women had found the tomb empty, but they still didn't know what had happened at that point. And that's why they were walking home talking about Jesus and all the things that had happened. And in that moment when they broke bread together, God reveals Jesus to them. He becomes a revelation to them. You see, beyond the cross, after the cross, because Jesus rose again from the dead, in the moments that we spend with him, in those moments of breaking bread and blessing, remembering, we see Jesus. For me, it's a beautiful picture of brokenness leading to wholeness. The broken body of Jesus, the brokenness of his body then brings wholeness through the resurrection of Jesus. And there we are come alive with him as we accept him as our Lord and our Savior. From brokenness comes wholeness, blessings because of Jesus. Do you have those moments with Jesus when he reveals himself to you? Cherish those moments. Do you see Jesus? Do you know Jesus today? Beyond the cross, after the cross, is where we see Jesus, risen, alive, King of kings, Lord of lords, our Savior, our healer, our King. We see Jesus. And the fifth thing we see from this road to Emmaus, the road to Emmaus is a place where our hearts come alive with the fire of his presence. I love verse 32. It's a wonderful, wonderful verse. It says, they said to each other, didn't our hearts feel strangely warm as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Didn't our hearts feel strangely warm? On this road, as we travel it with Jesus, as we travel it together, as he walks with us, as he talks to us, as he opens scripture with us, our hearts come alive with the fire of his presence. It's a place where our hearts feel strangely warm and we come alive. You know, the Greek word here for warm or burn, whatever your version says, it literally means set on fire. Set on fire. Their hearts were set on fire for Jesus. They were set on fire as they walked with him, as they talked with him, as they journeyed with him, we are told in verse 32. They were set on fire. His burning presence is in us. His burning presence is in us and leads us to being alive for him, only him. Jesus, our Savior, our healer, our King, our everything. Do your hearts feel strangely warm today? We've experienced a real sense of the presence of God here. In our gathered time, in our sung worship, in our prayers, prophetic words, words of knowledge. It's beautiful when we walk with Jesus, our hearts are set on fire for him. And you see, this burning in our hearts leads us to telling everyone about Jesus. Because you see, we carry on the story of these two men. Remember, it was late in the day on Sunday, on Resurrection Day. It was late in the day. They were going home, and it was so late they encouraged this stranger at that time to come and eat with them and stay with them. But do you notice that once Jesus revealed themselves to him, they say they got up and went back to Jerusalem. So what time do you think that was? I don't know. Middle of the night it was. Another 7-mile journey. What would it take you to walk that? 2.5 hours? 2 hours if you're a fast walker? But they went back, and they went back to tell them. It says then within the hour, they say, in verse 33, they were on their way back to Jerusalem, where the 11 disciples and the other followers of Jesus were gathered. And when they arrived, they were greeted with the report, the Lord has really risen. You see, when our hearts are set on fire for Jesus, we want to tell everyone about him. We're told today, read it for at least four times a week, we are 200 times more likely to tell others about Jesus. And so, allow this burning in your heart, this strange warmth in your heart, the fire of God, to lead you, to direct you. Because you see, Jesus is not there anymore. He is alive. He is risen. He is alive. So let's walk and talk together. Let's open scripture together. Let's see Jesus together. Let's ask the questions together. And let's be people with our hearts alive with the fire of God, the fire of his presence in us today. Amen. Amen. Amen.